Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome each of you today to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries, which literally is heard around the world. We thank you today for your love and your support that you do regarding the things of the kingdom of God. I do want to say thank you today, before I forget, for all the wonderful and the gracious cards that you people have sent me in the last few weeks. It's literally amazing. I'm humbled in the fact that you people would love my wife and I and bless us in the degree that you have blessed us. We are just profusely humbled, to say the least. And I just want to say thank you today. And needless to say, I'm already distracted because we've already gotten knocked off air with WWCR. I had called in earlier today. We've been hooked up with them on the Comrex, probably a half an hour. And just as soon as I went on the air, we got knocked off. I mean, just as soon as I sat here and hit the intro music of our ministry, just as soon as I did that, we got knocked off the air. And I find it unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable, that we have been connected. We have equipment here in the studio. They have a matching box also in their studio, and they're called a Comrex Hotline. Comrex Hotline. And we've been connected, like I said, for well over probably a half an hour today. But so help me, just as soon as I went on the air live with the opening music, the intro music, we got disconnected. Now you tell me how in the world that happens so often. It literally begs description. I don't know what to do. I absolutely have no more thoughts as to what to do, but I'm telling you, I've sat here today for well over an hour, about a half an hour, and been connected in their studio. But just as soon as I started the opening music, we got knocked off the airwaves. I mean, that's the most puzzling and bizarre thing I have ever witnessed in my life. You know, it would be more realistic had it happened prior or a few minutes into the program. But I don't know what to do, except to ask you people to pray for us, because like I said, we were on the air a half an hour before 5 o'clock, and just as soon as we went on the air, we got knocked off. So I don't know what to do except to pray and ask God to maybe provide another venue for us, because I know that many of you people, your only way of hearing the program is through shortwave, but there's no doubt about it. We are under some type of an assault, some type of an attack here at the Voice of Evangelism, and obviously a part of that attack involves WWCR. But like I say, it's mind-boggling, mind-blowing that we sat here working in the office today, as I said, for over half an hour, and just as soon as we went on, it disconnected, said no carrier, and so I don't know what to say. But again, let me get back to my an original point. These things are always profuse distractions when that happens. You get your mind off of where you're trying to go, what you're trying to accomplish. But I do want to say thank you so very much for the gracious cards and gifts that you people have sent my wife and I. You know, we know we're not worthy to minister the gospel of Christ to you people. You are the people of God. You are the sheep of his pasture, and we know that you are blessed of God, you are touched by God, and you are God's redeemed, and we know personally that we're not worthy because we understand what God has done in your life and why God would take such flawed men to preach a perfect gospel is literally beyond me. I don't understand that. I'm amazed at how God does that all the time. Anointing, choosing, calling, electing men to preach this gospel, which is a perfect gospel. There's no error whatsoever in the Holy Writ, none what at all. And we are called to preach that gospel, and I find it absolutely profound. And again, thank you so very much. If I tried to thank everyone by name, I would miss someone, and I don't want anyone to ever be offended at me, excuse me, if I failed to recognize what you have done for the ministry. But I do want to give a thank you to Brian Pierce, who sent me a T-shirt, and it said, "Made in 1955, all original parts." That was awesome, Brian. Excuse me. I thank you for that so much. We're not all original. We still have a few golden crowns that we've had to replace our teeth with. So almost original parts, but we're lacking just a few. During my fast, and that's the great thing about God, the Holy Ghost will deal with you about certain things relative to current events and what we are witnessing. We all know, if we have any common sense at all, this nation is being brought down by the New World Order. This nation has a Muslim holding the highest office in it. That was not by happenstance, neither was that by chance. But God, in his sovereignty, has allowed the enemy to not only encroach the gates of our nation, but to break through the gates of our nation. You cannot have a new world order and have a superpower competing, contending with it. So this is all by design. And it's a satanic design, but it is allowed, it is tolerated, it is suffered by God Almighty to allow this to come to fruition. This man in the White House, he has divided this nation exponentially. Say what you will, but he said he was going to pattern his presidential candidacy a lot after Abraham Lincoln. And of course, Abraham Lincoln presided over the Civil War of this nation. A lot of blood shedding. A lot of bloodletting. And I believe we're quickly approaching a similar threshold in this nation. God does not want division. He's not the author of confusion, neither does he divide, but he adds and he multiplies. When you look at the New Testament, the early church, he added to the church daily such as should be saved. Then it says he began to multiply within the church. And then by the time we get to Acts chapter 6, the Bible says there was a division. There was a division in the church. So we see God adds. We see that God multiplies. But then we begin to witness division. The Bible tells us that the disciples was multiplied. But all of a sudden there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And that caused division. And so that's how Satan operates. He conquers and divides. He conquers and divides. And regretfully, our House, both Congress and Senate, are filled with duplicitous liars who feign, as they choose to feign, an element of truth. When they know what they're espousing, they know what they're advocating, what they are appropriating is a lie. Now, Rudolph Giuliani is being crucified for his statements in that he does not believe the president loves this nation. And then they want to challenge the governor of Wisconsin, Mr. Walker, and question his mindset, about the president, his love for the nation, / Christianity. Well, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, Fox Network, also Fox Network, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, they are all complicit in this lie. All of these men are liars. I would tell Sean Hannity to his face, I would tell Bill O'Reilly and all of them, you're liars. You know you're liars because you're of your father, the devil. You say, now, Pastor Langford, that's pretty egregious. That's pretty hard. Well, Jesus Christ was not a savior and a Lord who often pulled punches. He just told it as he saw it. And these men that I have just named, Chris Matthews, Brian Williams, of course, he's a liar. I mean, the whole world is full of wickedness and liars. And all of these men and these women, all of them, Megyn Kelly, she's also a part of it. All of them, George Stephanopoulos, they're all complicit in this because their father is the devil. Their father is the devil. Jesus said, I don't know how many times, I've never bothered to count the times in Matthew 23, but woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, ye fools and blind. Ye blind guides, you scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, thou blind Pharisee. I mean, it's a litany of Jesus Christ identifying and telling these people what they are. Oh, Jesus was so much love, 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 love. Jesus, in Matthew 23:31, wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah son of Beriah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, O America, America, thou that killest the prophets, stonest them which are sent unto thee. How oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left, unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I'd say that's pretty fiery preaching from a man who everybody says he would not condemn Joey Osteen. He would not condemn the homosexual world. He would not condemn any of these people. You don't know Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something today? When you start fasting, you start praying, and you become broken, and you begin to weep profusely, and you prostrate yourself at the foot of a cross, and you begin to have communion, and you begin to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will suddenly get his heartbeat. You will feel what he feels. You will sense what he senses. You will witness what he witnesses. And you will rise up as a mighty man or woman of God, and you'll begin to wield the sword of the Lord, and you will speak and say those things which demonstrate the very heart of God Almighty. I chose for a topic today the words of a true Muslim. How do you like that pronunciation? Muslim. I learned that from Obama. In the South, we call him Muslim. But he taught me to say Muslim, because he is a Muslim. Well, I'm a Southern boy, so we say Muslim. Excuse my English. This man is a traitor. And I'm going to play the words of a true Muslim today. And I want you to see if you can discern, I want you to see if you can recognize who this Muslim is that's speaking. You see, we are told to discern. We are told to judge. We are told to try the spirit. Try in the Greek means to adjudicate, to judge correctly, to discern correctly. Try the spirit, whether it be of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. We're told in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There are two spirits in the earth. The spirit of truth, the spirit of error. I want to say that again. There are two spirits in the earth. The spirit of truth, the spirit of error. The word error in the Greek is plane. Plane. It means fraudulence, straying from orthodoxy or piety, deceit, to deceive, delusion, error. In its plurality, it means an imposter or misleader, as a tramp. I'm just sharing with you what the Greek definition is. I'm not making these words up. A misleader. What is a misleader? It is a leader who's misleading you. That's a misleader. A deceiver. A seducer. So when you read the Bible and John the Beloved tells us that there is the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, the word error there in the Greek describes those who are ruling in this nation. And their purpose is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's the purpose. The words of a true Muslim.
Assalamu alaikum. Many other Americans have Muslims in their families or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them. But my father came from a Kenyan family that includes generations of Muslims. As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia and heard the call of the azan at the break of dawn. I have known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction as the Holy Quran tells us, and the Holy Quran also says, Islam is not part of the problem in combating violent extremism. It is an important part of promoting peace. The enduring faith of over a billion people is so much bigger than the narrow hatred of a few. In the United States, rules on charitable giving have made it harder for Muslims to fulfill their religious obligation. That's why I'm committed to working with American Muslims to ensure that they can fulfill zakat. It is important for Western countries to avoid impeding Muslim citizens from practicing religion as they see fit. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear. We are no longer a Christian nation.
We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation.
The United States has been enriched by Muslim Americans. Since our founding, American Muslims have enriched the United States. Islam has always been a part of America's story. There is a mosque in every state in our union and over 1,200 mosques within our borders.
You know, one of the points I want to make is that if you actually took the number of Muslims, Americans, we'd be one of the largest Muslim countries in the world.
Let there be no doubt, Islam is a part of America.
He did bow to the Muslim king, while he did not do it to the British Queen of England. And by bowing, he showed the world that I am subservient. I do bow down to you as a Muslim king, something no other president has done with Saudi Arabia. The Saudi king is his peer. He is not his subordinate in order to bow for him. And this is exactly what Obama did. Usually it is out of respect that someone would nod his head when bowing to royalty and the ladies will give curtsy. But Obama went beyond what is required as a head of state and bowed to the Saudi king, and that's unacceptable.
All right,
it sent the wrong symbol.
What, when you say it sends the wrong signal, what signal do you think it sends?
It sent a message that Islam is superior to any other master or king or president in the world, that an American president bound to a Muslim king. It also sent a message that terrorism and jihadism is giving Islam the respect it should have on the world stage, to the point that it made an American president for the first time in history bow to a Muslim king.
Presidential candidate Barack Obama is trying to change political fashion. He gave a speech in Iowa City today, and he wasn't wearing an American flag pin. Those pins have become synonymous with politicians since 9/11. Obama says he doesn't like how the pin has come to represent patriotism in America.
I won't wear that pin on my chest.
It's a little weird, Alan, that in the middle of the campaign, the guy takes off the American flag that most people wear because they're proud of their country.
Let me speak as clearly and as plainly as I can. America is not and never will be at war with Islam.
Well, there you have it. Those are the words of a true Muslim. Muslim. Those are the words of a man who people in this nation said, we want you to lead us. We want you to give us the hope and the change that you have promised us. Now, anyone that would like a copy, and I've got one more excerpt I'm going to play. But anyone that would like a copy of this CD, if you'll just send me a dollar or two to cover the cost of the postage, the CD, the package, and the plastic insert, I'll send this to you. What I would like for you to do is to write your newspaper in your city. I would like for you to, if you have a chance, to call in to Sean Hannity. You could call in to Rush Limbaugh, any of these talk shows, and ask them, why don't they tell the truth?
You're absolutely right that John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith. You're absolutely right that John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith.
That was you-know-who. In 2008, being interviewed by George Stephanopoulos on ABC World News, the man says, I want to thank John McCain for not making my Muslim faith an issue. Yet, Bill O'Reilly, Megyn Kelly, Fox and Friends in the Morning, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, all of these people know that to be the truth. But like the Greek says, hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So these people are purposely misleading us. Has Jesus Christ ever sought to mislead anyone? No. You see, we as Christians oppose secret lodges and organizations because everything that Jesus Christ did, he did openly. We all know there is a satanic hierarchical government and structure that exists. Its purpose, its existence is for one reason only: to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's the only reason. And these people, and I could say some very ugly things here, but when they say the spin stops here, that is as duplicitous and misleading and lying as it gets. I mean, when you have these audio, and not only audio, you have these video clips. You have these video clips.
You're absolutely right that John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith.
They're there. They exist. They exist. Now, you have these purported so-called conservatives like Rubio from Florida, Lindsey Graham. They say, oh, we don't question the man's love, neither his patriotism. You don't? You don't question it when the man openly says it? I mean, you know, if I told you yesterday I robbed a bank and demonstrated it by an enormous amount of cash and my spending on the next day, and I admittedly said I'd done that, and you say, I see what you're saying, and I see the new cars, and I see the lifestyle has changed overnight, but it don't matter. so it doesn't matter? You see, this is the road to chaos. This is the road to disaster. Every national media person, spokeswoman, spokesman should have their ears pinned to the wall and say, you answer this. When we see this, we hear this. Why do you not hear, why do you not see what we see? Why don't you hear, why don't you see what we see? And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing, ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. I want you to get that. I want you to get that. And their eyes they have closed. God didn't close them. God did not close their eyes. They closed their own eyes. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. You need to thank God every day that you cannot only hear, but you can see. You can hear and you can see. You can see. You can also understand and should understand with their heart. While Joe Apero, the sheriff in Arizona, sent his posse to the state of Hawaii to investigate the birth certificate, he says there's, I think, 19 layers superimposed over the birth certificate. Hey, Bill O'Reilly, you say the spin stops here. If I was on a merry-go-round and you're the conductor, sir, we'd all be drunk because you purport, you espouse such spin. Why don't you put on your big boy pants and tell the truth? Matter of fact, why don't you people listening email him? Email Mr. Bill O'Reilly that says the spin stops here. Sir, you're nothing but a magnified spinster. That's all you are. You got more access to this stuff than this podunk preacher ever thought about having. You are, sir, a journalist. You know where to go, who to go. You can get audio and video that I would never have access to because of your forum. Why don't you send Water Worlds out there and record all of this stuff and show it, sir? And then when somebody like Rudolph Giuliani says, the man does not love the nation, even Megyn Kelly wants to crucify him. And you want to say you're a different network? That you're a conservative network? That you're telling the truth network? Nah. Now, that's not true. Because when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, everybody wants to be somewhat politically correct to a certain degree. Well, Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Jesus advocated transparency. Oh, I think I heard that somewhere. The most transparent government ever. See, I know the truth that I espouse here gets me in trouble. But somebody's got to be willing to take a stance and tell the truth. You've heard the words of a true Muslim. Everything that I've gotten today that I've played for you, you can go on the internet and get it yourself. It's there. The video clips. All of these statements, all of that that I have tried to convey to you today, it does exist. But yet, there are those who are complicit. But Jesus told us why. This people's heart is waxed gross. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So their love waxes cold, and their heart has waxed gross. This is the danger that Christians face. The word gross there in the Greek means to thicken, to become fat, to stupefy or render callous. This people's heart is waxed calloused. This people's heart is waxed to stupefy. This people is a people that has refused. They have refused to believe, as well as to advocate and appropriate the truth. You see, true journalism doesn't have a dog in the fight. That was why our forefathers said, every man has the freedom of speech. Now, if it's a lie, you get taken to court for slander. But the media is complicit in the cover-up. The senators, the congressmen, they're complicit in the cover-up. The United States Supreme Court is complicit in the cover-up. They're all in it. Well, Pastor, I just think you're being a little bit too hard. Okay. Just a little bit too hard. Well, how about just a little bit of adultery? How about just a little bit of sodomy? How about just a little bit of fornication? How about just a little lie? You know, not a black lie, but a white lie. Just a little white lie. How's that for you? How's that for you? Is that what we really want? I said last week, nothing angers me more than anything than a lie. Because, you see, the liar is trying to manipulate me. As the Greek says about the word error, you're misleading me. You're a misleader. And you mislead not by happenstance or by coincidence. You mislead by purpose and intent. That's your purpose. That's your intent. That's your intent. John McCain said he's ashamed of himself and of his country because we're not helping the Ukrainians. John McCain, I'm ashamed of you because you don't have any truth in you, sir. You feign empathy. You feign sympathy for people around the world. And we should have empathy and sympathy for those who are in a war-torn area or those who are facing famine and those who are being beheaded and those who are being set on fire. But this wouldn't be happening if men were full of the truth. You see, they pick and they choose when they want to stand for what's right. Rubio, you know the truth as well as anybody, but you'd like to be president. So you're going to compromise on your convictions, and you're going to compromise on the truth. Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity. You see, they compromise, but they want the ratings. Rush Limbaugh, he wants the ratings. I think he's on nearly 500 radio stations in America every day. He's got his producers. He could air everything I just aired and tell the innocent bystander the truth. You see, I understand something. To whom much is given, much is required. Now, you could make that applicable to only Christians. Well, you see, I don't believe it that way. I believe to whom men commit much. They commit to Limbaugh and Hannity and O'Reilly. They commit, sirs, to you telling the truth. To whom much is given, much is required. And do you think God, who suffers, allows, and tolerates men to have the podium, the platform, the position that they possess, to not give an account for what they had? Oh, Jesus was awfully upset with the man whom he gave the one talent. Jesus said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Can I tell you a lot of these men are just that? Wicked and slothful. I do not take what small platform that God has allowed me to have. I do not take it carelessly and recklessly. I have a responsibility to one thing, the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." Pilate, while Jesus Christ was standing right in his presence, right in front of him, Pilate said, "What is the truth? What is the truth?" You see, there stood the truth right before Pilate. And Pilate questioned, "What is the truth?" I have just played numerous excerpts of truth. You see, the truth is the only thing that Jesus said would set men free. That's what sets men free. Even a sinner would like to know the truth about the air conditioning unit the air conditioning man says he needs. Jesus said in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Even sinner men would like to have the truth. If you go to the dentist and all you need is a filling, and the dentist says, "No, you need a root canal and a crown," wouldn't you appreciate the truth? You see, what we are failing to realize, everyone is going to give an account. Rush Limbaugh, sir. Sean Hannity, sir. Megyn Kelly, ma'am. Bill O'Reilly, sir. You're going to give an account. That's not because I said so. That's because the word of Almighty God said so. That's what makes the difference. You see, that's what makes the difference. Romans 14, verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every, I want to emphasize the word, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every man will give an account. Every man will give an account. And did you know that account at that point in time will be absolutely so accurate that it begs description? It won't be, well, if I remember, if I recall, if I recollect. No, 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 no. There'll be none of that stuff there. You know why? God will do what I've done today in the great white throne judgment. He will play the video clip, sir. He will play the audio, sir, and say, here's what you said. Now you judge your own words. I don't think people understand the judgment of God. You see, God is so just. God is so fair. He's so equitable. It's unbelievable. So, you know, God's not in any hurry. I mean, only God inhabits eternity. One day with the Lord's 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as one day. So, Jesus will play all of these clips, all of these excerpts, and these men will witness it. You say, now Brother Langford, you've been pretty hard today. You've really been pointed. Well, let me tell you some more of the words of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So when God begins to rehearse all of the video clips, all of the audio clips, he'll play the audio of all of these lying men, and because of standing in the presence of God Almighty, his mere presence will demand they utter the truth. Did you know that? You see, when you stand before God, the spirit of deception, the spirit of duplicity will not be there. Because you'll be standing in the presence of truth. The truth will have to come out of you then. Why? Because every veneer, every facade will be stripped away. It'll be stripped away. You will stand there naked. Now the righteous will be clothed in righteousness. But the sinner, the wicked, I'll be standing there absolutely naked and so vulnerable it will beg description. But you're standing before God. And there's nothing hid before God. Nothing. You know, in God's presence, it'll be like the noonday sun at its strength at midnight. That's how bright it will be. no shadows, no similitudes. None of those things will be relevant because the light will be so bright. Nothing can be seen but the truth. Nothing. And men will stand there, and they will give account in the day of judgment. And he will play these words. He will play these speeches. He will play these videos. You think I'm kidding you? You think I'm making this stuff up? But I'm not. That's the books. That's right. That's the books. And Revelation 20 and 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, a peon who didn't repent, and a purported president, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. What books? The record books. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, according to what they said, according to what they did, according to the way they behaved. That's what they're going to be judged, every man according to his works. And what's so profound about all of that is this. I have the right. Oh, did you hear that? I have the right. I have the right. I have the authority. And I have the conscience to either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Who said that? Who said that? Someone said. Who made that statement? Who could make such a statement as that? Jesus. Jesus is not senile, insane, or psychotic schizophrenia. He said to you and I, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. Oh, the true Muslim is absolutely corrupt, for his fruit is not good. For his fruit is lies, misrepresentation, misleading, camouflaged, disguised, duplicitous, full of error. And I have the right. And every listener today, you also possess that right to either make the tree good and his fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. That's your right. That's your God-given right. The Constitution did not give you that right. The Bill of Rights did not give you that right. God's holy word gave you that right. You know, it's amazing. I've never read the Quran, but I promise you these kind of statements are not in the Quran, because those kind of false doctrines and religions are full of nothing but lie. God's word is full of nothing but the truth, and God wants you to take the truth and use the truth and appropriate the truth correctly in your life. You shall know the truth. When I preach to you this word, I preach to you nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. That's all I preach. And you see these little fairy preachers, these little fairy, effeminate preachers who float around in their pulpits like little fairies, don't have enough of God to preach what I preach, because all I preach is the Word of God. What you heard today be play on the air, the words of a true Muslim, I did not make any of that up. I did not fabricate any of that. I did not surmise any of that. I just played you what a man said. That's all I did. And that's all Christ will do at the great white throne judgment. There'll be no misrepresentation. There'll be no camouflage. There'll be no duplicity there. He will not make up. He will not create scenarios. He will just judge men and play back their works and say, well, now here it is, John McCain. Let's look at your life. You say, well, man, it might take 60 years. So what? I said 60 because my birthday this weekend. It may take 60 years to replay that man's works. Like God doesn't have time. Oh, God's got literally all the time in this world and all the time in the worlds to come. He's got it, brother. He's got it, sister. And he will put on an expose like you have never seen of every man, every woman. Next, Bill O'Reilly. Be just like a barber shop. Next. And he will rehearse and he will play back all of these things. And that's what gives me unbelievable joy in my heart and in my life. That when it's all said and it's all done, God Almighty is going to let every man stand and hear his own words. And his own words will either justify him or they shall condemn him. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I couldn't make it any more simple than I made it today, folks. I hope you were able to discern, grasp the truth of God and God's holy word. Again, if you'd like a copy of this little excerpt of quotes that I recorded from a true Muslim, write me. Send something to cover the expense. I'll get it back to you and send it to these so-called purveyors of truth. Email them. Write them letters. Tell them you've got evidence, and they've got the evidence. They just won't show it. They won't present it. You know why? It's hard to say this in some respects, but Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Yes, he is. I'll see you next Monday. I've got some things I've got to take care of tomorrow, but I pray today somehow the Holy Spirit has spoken profoundly to your heart and life. Amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. That's P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006.